Amen. Thank you, choir. Good evening, everyone. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books, please, and turn to 574. 574, there's sunshine in my soul today. I know you said, well, we've had a lot of sunshine. Amen. Let's sing it out on the first verse. Here we go.
There is sunshine in my soul today.
I hold those out. I do that just to see if I can trick Mrs. Johnson. So, and she followed good, okay? Here we go on the last verse together.
There is gladness in my soul today.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven the old account was settled long ago. Do you remember when your account was settled? Amen. On the first verse, here we go.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing.
Those around you, and we'll come back and sing that last verse.
Thank you.
sinner, seek the Lord. Here we go.
Oh, sinner, seek the Lord.
For the good singing, you may be seated. And we have a Betancourt duet for us now at this time.
The Lord is the best thing that's happened to you. Amen. And so good to see you tonight. We have our ushers coming down. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to get a record of your visit. We need you to slip your hand up, though, and they'll give you a card and a pen. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate for us. It'd be a great honor for us to get a record of your visit being with us. Amen. As they come back, hold it way high. All right. Ladies, don't forget that we have a ladies' retreat coming up in September, but on August 6th is the due date, the last hurrah. If you don't get registered, you could wish that you could go, or you could go next year if they have it. Amen. August 6th. And you say, Preacher, why are you saying that? Because we really don't have it. The deadline for registering is just around the corner. Make sure you get registered for that. It is a great time. It's a good time to be with other ladies. If you need any information or you need some help getting registered, you can see my wife. She'll help you do that. And then this week, we have our teacher orientation going on, really, through the first part of the week. And then Friday, we're going to kick off school. And so I want you to be in prayer for our teachers as they get prepared to receive young people. Amen? Amen. They get geared up, you know. In football, I used to go to the sideline, and I'd, you know, get all like, you know, and then they'd hit me on the helmet and stuff like that. So that's really what they do in teacher orientation throughout the week. And they just don't have helmets, is what Brother Burt said. Amen. And so... but really, it's just trying to get recentered, remember all the things, and just going over some stuff and just trying to get prepared. And so be in prayer for them as they prepare for that. And then also be in prayer for our students as they come back for a brand new school year. Looking forward to that. College is just around the corner. So be in prayer for all these different things. And then want to make sure that before we move to our prayer time, want to remind you about the funeral for Ralph Hutchinson. I want to make this announcement that it's going to be on Saturday, August 9th at 1 p.m. in North Gainesville Baptist Church. That is in Gainesville, Florida. And so if you want to make that trip up there, again, you want to put in North Gainesville Baptist Church. That's August 9th at 1 p.m. Be in prayer for the Hutchinson family as well. Be in prayer specifically for Travis. His grandfather asked him to do the service, and it's always hard to do somebody in your family, but also to preach to your family. And so, but his grandfather asked him to do that, so pray for him as he prepares to do that, and that God would use it in his family. Amen. Be in prayer as we turn our attention to our prayer list. Be in prayer for Marta Mullins as she goes and has a test tomorrow, and that everything comes back good. I want you to continue to pray for Pastor Carter, that he'll get full recovery there. Was able to come in and hear tonight, but continue to pray for him, that all that will just continue to clear out of his lungs. And continue to pray for Ron and Kathy Martin's unborn grandson there, due in October. So it needs lung and kidney surgery. And then it seems that the brain is not completely developed. So I want you to be in prayer about that as well, that God will just superintend and take care of a lot of those things there. Mentioned this morning, if you weren't in here, Miss Cindy Bradford got some tests back and they were not good. She has cancer, a spot in her lungs, on her backbone, and she's cancer in her blood. So she's going to have to go through some chemotherapy and immunotherapy. Really needs a miracle of God. And so we really just need to beg God for a miracle here in her life. She just kind of got over the last surgeries and things there, and still trying to deal with some of that, and then got some really bad news with this. But again, we know the great physician, and I know who can heal and help if he chooses to do so. Amen. And so you be in prayer there. Also, David McEwen wants you to be in prayer. Got a text this afternoon that they called the ambulance to take him back to the hospital again. He has had some internal bleeding. They thought they had that under control, but he's up there in Canada. So let's make it a matter of prayer. I haven't heard details yet, but that they did take him back to the hospital. Continue to pray for these that have had surgery recently: Wyatt Wooten, Barbara Alchis, Ellie Walker, Sherry Parsons, Dr. Lee. And then if you would continue to pray for these that are Miss Norma Strickland, Dalton Maloney there, cancer treatments, but also salvation: Angela Wilkie, Dan Canals, and Juanita Ballard. Let's stand to our feet. I want you to continue to pray also for the Travis family who lost Mom Sharon there with a buddy. I want you to pray there. While we're going to prayer, I just want to ask you to pray really seriously about this. Although 50-some years of school and everything that's going on, make it a matter of prayer. The devil is looking for any kind of chink in the armor to attack, and we need to pray a hedge of protection around our ministry and then be in prayer for each other. Brother Randy Smith, would you step to the mic tonight and pray for us? Appreciate Brother Randy and all that he does here in our ministry. God bless you, my
brother. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. I ask you to be with the pastor as he brings the message. But we especially pray for all those on the prayer list, Lord, that you know what needs to be done. You will do it in your time, and we thank you for that. We also pray for the start of school year, Lord, the teacher orientation this week and as school starts. And we just thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. School year is getting started. We usually pull this song out from the choir to use it. It was actually written by Ron Hamilton way back in 1991. That's before Casera was born. Where's Casera? She's wrong. Oh, she's in the nursery. I tried to get her. She told me that was before she was born. Anyways, 1991, Ron Hamilton actually wrote this song for the FACTS Teachers Convention that we go to each year. He was there doing the music that year, and talks about the potter molding the clay. And it's what we do as teachers every year is we have clay that we have in front of us to mold their lives. And the song is called Molding a Masterpiece. Masterpieces of love. Amen. Pray for us as school gets started and the teachers come back tomorrow. Amen. Let's stand together now. Turn in your hymn books to 115. 115, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. 115.
striving to please Him in all that I do. Being allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee.
Amen. As we sing the last verse, make it your prayer tonight as we get ready to hear God's word in just a minute. On the last verse together.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Before our message now, Sister Tiberi is going to come and sing for us.
I want Jesus in my life more than anything this world can offer me, for I know that He alone can satisfy. Just to know His leading in my life is worth anything that I might sacrifice. Oh, I want Jesus more than anything. Take the fame that I might want and all the things that seem so dear. I'd rather have Jesus than many praise that man may give to me. I want Him to have control and be the breath of life in me. I'd rather have Jesus, I'd rather have Him than anything. He had power without end. From the heavens He ruled the universe. Countless angels waited on His every call. But one day I saw Him all alone on a road to death and untold agony. Just for me He suffered. What a price He paid. I'd rather have him than any praise that man that man may give to me. I want him to have control and be the breath of life in me. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather
take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to 2 Peter chapter number 3, 2 Peter chapter number 3. And tonight I want everybody to tune in. I do think as we look towards back to school Sunday, it's good for all of us to be reminded of some things. And the chapter itself is just a reminder, something that kind of puts us back in perspective of things, but it also helps us in several different ways throughout the chapter. But tonight I just want to make sure that we remind ourselves of the things that really count. You know, a lot of times we don't, you know, there's a lot of guys, and this is a church ministry, and we're all a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes if we're not careful, you know, if you've ever been on a football team, and, you know, you can say, I had so many catches, and I ran for so many yards, but if there was a big goose egg up on the scoreboard, you could have been really good, but if there was nothing going on as a whole. And again, the church itself is a body, and it's supposed to be doing the work of God. Although all of us individually are pieces of the body, we need to be pulling together to, you know, to see the Great Commission fulfilled. That's why we don't just count the people that are here, but the ones that are sent out. We've had several of our missionaries here and for on and off throughout the summer, and we've sent folks on mission trips. And so again, people count. That's why we count them. Amen. And souls count. And it's important for us to understand that. But the mission counts, and it's something that we're supposed to be about. But the chapter reminds us also that, you know, it talks about that in verse number 8, it talks about that he wants us not to be ignorant. That again, read it with me if you would. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as what? As a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. So he begins to tell us some things about what we don't really understand is we don't count things exactly the way God counts them. And he's not talking about value. See, a lot of times when we talk about counting things, we're talking about finding value in something or the way we count it. But in the next verse, he puts it in perspective with us, because a lot of us, if we're not careful, the day we get saved, we can't wait. What did John say in the book of Revelation? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But if we're not careful, we get so busy looking for his coming, we're not looking at the people that he wants us to be witnesses to. And when he means that by looking for his coming, it means to be about his business, because today could be the day. Sometimes, again, it's not looking, standing on a hill and looking for him coming. It's being about his business, fulfilling the Great Commission. And so tonight, I just want to remind us of some things that we already know. But again, I just want to talk about, I think for each one of us as Christians, we ought to try to really look at what counts. Because the church here, as Peter writes to Christians, he's writing to them, trying to tell them that, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we start counting things wrong. And there's a difference. There's two words used in the chapter, and I want you to pick them up and see them, because they don't mean the same thing. He's going to use the word count in the middle of the chapter, and then he's going to use account for things. And I want you to put it in this perspective. I may never come back to it. It's not really the message tonight, but I want you to see this, that when you count things, sometimes we don't always count things the same way. Now, I'm not talking about new math. I still think 2 + 2 = 4, all right? I'm talking about the idea that, in other words, when God hadn't come yet, we count it like he's slack on his promises, or that he's not really coming like he said he was coming. But if we were to take God and take account of all the promises of God that have come to pass just the way he said they would, then we would count things differently, because instead of counting every day that he hasn't come, we'd realize that, boy, I can count on him. He's coming. I can account him faithful for some things, and he should be able to count on me. And when I stand and give an account of my life, I will have had a life that counts. And for all of us, we don't realize that that's counting the right things as valuable in our lives. As we spend each day of our lives, sometimes we think of different things and we hold them valuable. We start seeking, sometimes the world penetrates our minds and our hearts, and we start valuing the things that the world thinks are worthy of counting valuable rather than the things that God says are valuable. But we always need to keep in perspective the thing that's always going to recenter us, the thing that's always going to put us back on the right mindset, is going to be the Word of God. It was good for us Wednesday night. If you missed it, you ought to go back online and watch it. It was good for us to be reminded of what the Word of God does for us. It described it as soap, washing us. But again, tonight, I just want to pray and dive into the Scripture before we begin reading and just ask the Lord to help us. And if you would, you pray and ask God to help you hear and the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally, so that you won't leave the way you came, but that you get something from God's Word tonight. Amen? I promise I won't get in the way. All right, if you tune in and listen to the Word of God, you'll get something that's good for you. Amen? All right, if you go home hungry, you know how they say, I just ain't getting fed. If you go home hungry, listen, is the Word of God perfect? Amen. Amen. Did you show up to hear it? Amen. Amen. That's what will be preached tonight. Amen. So if you leave home hungry, it's your fault. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray, God, tonight, Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd do what I can't do, that you would go into the hearts of the hearers, God, and that you would penetrate deep. And God, take the Word of God and just divide asunder the things that need to be separated, and let the things that count matter sit deep in the hearts of God's people and in their minds. Lord, remind us of exactly what counts. Help us to account of our lives on a daily basis, that we are doing the things that really count. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. He begins in verse number 9. We read verse 8, but in verse 9 he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also in the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now, before we go any farther, I just want to make you to understand that there's a lot of things being said about things that will happen in the end times in this chapter. But the primary theme is people. God is informing us of what will happen at the end times, but he says that the reason that God has not, that all of these things have not happened, is because God is not slack concerning his promises that he will return, that he will come for his church, that he will judge the world, all the things that are true, but that God doesn't want anybody to perish, but all should what? That they should all come to the what? To repentance, that they should turn and be saved. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, the reason that God has not come yet isn't because he has just got a set plan, date, or time. God knew exactly what time, date, and stamp would be on those that have turned and come to repentance. And if you realize it, man, it feels like it's a long time and God's pushing back his calendar. If he's pushing it back, he's pushing it back for the soul. He's pushing back for the ones that he paid and died for. Now, for all of us, if we're not careful, we'll count us as the most important thing in our soul. And salvation is something that counts, by the way. If you're in this building tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, listen, you ought to get saved. The greatest day of my life was the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and was born again. And I believe every born-again Christian inside this room would say amen to that day. It changed our eternal destiny. It's the greatest day of our lives. But for all of us, it's important for us to understand that day is not just the greatest day for us, but for every person that will turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and be saved. And just because we got there or accepted that before they did, doesn't mean God ought to just come back because we got saved. It's awful arrogant, I'll say it that way, for us to think that God should move to our timeline and that everybody should get saved when we think they should get saved. Thank God that God was patient with me and that I heard the gospel over and over and over again when I had no right to. Once was enough. As he says in the book of Romans, nature itself was a witness to me, and that was enough. But I'm thankful that he put me in a good place where I heard the gospel over and over and over again until finally my thick skull, there was penetration through my ears, amen, and I heard the word of God, and it took root inside of me, and then I acted upon it. You know, there's so many people that have heard the gospel over and over again, but they have been hesitant to act. They've been hesitant to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Why do we have to be persistent? Because people have heard, but they haven't called. Why do we go back to the same places and knock the same door? Because people have heard, but they haven't called. If you're not careful, you'll end up in this mindset. We won't count things right. And guess what happens when you don't count things right? You become a Calvinist. You count things like the Calvinists do. God's just going to, you know, it ain't got nothing to do with me. God will get it done without me. With or without me, God will get it done. When God, listen, the reason God left you here was for you to be a witness. Listen, you say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I believe we live in a day and age where God is tarried his coming. And we know that he's coming as a thief in the night. And if we really believe that, wouldn't we live every day differently than we do? Wouldn't we be diligent in our doings and in the way we live for him on a daily basis? It would change us from the inside out, and it would make us count certain things differently. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Listen, folks. All the things in your world, not just the earth, but everything on the earth. That car that you think is so precious out in the parking lot, and the only thing that you personally can smoke off of it and burn up is the tires. One day it's going to melt with fervent heat. It's just going to be a heap of rubble, and it won't count for anything. It doesn't matter how low the VIN is or how many miles it has on it. Doesn't matter what year it was made. Or if you were like one of those guys, the old country song that you got it one piece at a time and it was an old jalopy. All right. It doesn't matter how we count it today as being worthy of something. Listen, I'm going to tell you, one day it ain't going to count for nothing. Our homes and everything that will melt with fervent heat. We got to come to the place where all of us realize that God is not just sovereign, but he reminds us, how do we count for things? And then beyond that, he says, when all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be? In all what? Holy conversation and godliness. So our talk and our action, how should we live if we realize everything's going to burn up one day except for people on planet Earth? That the souls of men are going to spend eternity somewhere and that they count way more than anything else. And if we took that into account, boy, it would change the way we lived. Listen, it's what the Great Commission is all about. We're not commissioned to build great buildings for God all over the world. There's a lot of religions that spend all their time building temples, stretching high to the sky, and they got to be beautiful. They got to be layered with gold, and they have to be just great Ephesus of man's work to represent what God could live in. God doesn't live in those. God lives inside of this. And he wants this to have holy conversation. He wants this to have godliness. That means listen, can I just say this? You know that there are people in this room tonight, according to the word of God, that have a form of godliness. That means you dress the outside up, but you deny the power thereof. You know the power thereof is the thing that gives you purpose. It puts you to work. It's the power to get things done for God and to see things through. For all of us, again, this is a reminder. I want you to see here, he says, that if what manner of person, so how do you count, what do you account things for? What counts in your mind tonight? What type of person do you want to be according to the word of God? What do you seek to be? God says, if we know these things, then what manner of man ought you to be? He goes on and he says in verse 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everything's melting down around us. And then he says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth. Even when everything melts down, there's brand new things coming from it. We don't look, that stuff doesn't fear. We don't have to fear those things. We're looking forward to what God is going to produce from the ashes. He says, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Why does he got to burn everything off? Because of sin. Because of how we spent so much time counting things the wrong way, not being what we ought to be. And he comes through this in verse 14, wherefore, so thinking that way, understanding those things to be true, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. I want to stop there and just say some things tonight. I want you to see that from verse number 9 all the way to verse 15, he's counting and accounting that God's, the days, the way God counts things, 1,000 to 1, all of that is about souls. Now, the way you and I mark time, we have our Apple Watches and all the smart things, and we can count time closer than anybody ever did. Some of you still be maybe working off a sundial where the sun comes up and the sun goes down, and that's how you work all your days. All of that still works for day to day, but God deals with 1,000 years. God deals with things differently and looks at things differently. But you and I, we don't live in that time frame the way God sees everything. We live in such a way that every day of our lives count. I don't know if anybody inside this room thinks that they're going to live for one day of what God sees. How many of you think you're going to make 1,000 of them? No, sir. Not going to make it. So for all of us, I've got to live each day like it matters. I want to account for my days. That means when I take record for it, different counting. Listen, you know, there's people that can count on all of their fingers and toes, and that's as high as they can go. But accounting, it's one of those things where I go back and look at what has happened, and I'm taking record of it. Do you know most of us don't sit down at the end of the day and review how we spent the day for the Lord? Did I share the gospel with anybody today? Did I read his word today? How much did I pray today? How much of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in me and should be working through me, how much of that did people see through me today? You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I want to remind you of some things that count. Look at verse 1 and 2, and I want you to see this. And he begins this, and he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both epistles, this is my purpose, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, the only way to be stirred up is to remember who you used to be. The only way to take account is to account for what you started at. The old sinner we sang it tonight, the old account was settled long ago. I can account that there was a day that there was a change in me and that there ought to be a continued change in my life because of what God did. And he says here that how do I do that? He says, he as an apostle writes under the inspiration of God and says, I want to, in the last book and in this book, I want to stir you up through what? Your pure minds. Does he say your dirty minds? or your pure minds? By way of remembrance. Do you know we live in a day and age that the mind, and I had the preaching on Wednesday night about the Word of God and soap and cleaning up, but I'm just going to tell you that we, you know, I didn't live 100 years ago, but people didn't have access to the things that they have access to today. They didn't just throw everything up in awful commercials where you can't watch TV or any kind. Listen, it ain't even TV anymore. You want to watch something on your phone and an ad pops up. And there's two sodomites on there, and they're in there some trying to brand some kind of thing that are on there, and it's the, you know, you're taken back. And again, it's the grossest thing on the world. You think, oh my goodness, what has come up on my television? And you don't think that that affects your pure mind? And all it was an advertisement, but don't tell me that you watch all kinds of shows because they're trying to mix it in everything that you watch. You just can't go and watch anything, folks. You just can't go out there because, again, what does it do? It affects you. But how is your pure mind cleansed? We heard it Wednesday night. The very soap of the Word of God, the washing of the Word is what helps us on a daily basis. But what if I don't count that as something I ought to do? I go to church and I hear the word preached a couple times a week, so that's enough for you? How about if you try eating as much as you go to church and see how that works for you? Well, you say, well, that's crazy, preacher. All right, well, how about just drink water every time you come to church? You think you're going to stay hydrated? Think you're going to stay filled? How about this? Only take showers on the... Well, that's not a good example. Because some of you might say the preacher said. But I'm just telling you, think about the day and age we live in. And again, you know, I can say this, even 100 years and go beyond, it was different. If we wanted to really take showers as that thing, you didn't have that bathroom inside the house. You didn't have the shower the same way. Had to go down to the lake. If you were going to take a bath, you had to really want one. You had to work up a sweat to get one. You had to pump the water up to get it. Hey, folks, I just think sometimes for all of us, listen, I'm even in the Christian life, we got to remember that everything ain't as easy as the season that we came to. Do you know on a daily basis, we got to go to the Word of God? And by the way, you're not the one doing the work. You may think reading the Bible on a daily basis is real work, but that's it. Some of you might think eating is real work. Or like cooking is real work. You know, cooking for your family. Now, don't get mad with me. All right? I'm just saying, in other words, there was a day and age we didn't call those things work because those were things we had to do on a daily basis. If we wanted to be fed, if we wanted to be taken care of, it wasn't work. It was just the things we did to exist and to go on through the day. And for all of us, we think that the Christian life is work. Because the things that matter, listen, salvation matters. Being a witness matters. That's the number one things that count. I mean, it's the starting block for everything. But don't forget that your devotional life. Look, he says in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the what? Words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He deals with Old and New Testament scripture right here, and he says for us that the things he's trying to remind us to be mindful of and to count as something that we ought to be in and we ought to count as something that's important. I realize what's on the back wall back here, the big KJV, and we all hold it important, but do we read it? Do we count it important that on a daily basis I will not stand and teach my students unless I've read my Bible in the morning before I get up and do it? Do I count the Word of God? I'm not going to go to work. I'm not going to leave and do anything until I've been in the Word of God. I have no right to lead and walk and do unless I've spent time in God's Word. We need to count things in that manner. We need to get back. When we're talking about getting back to school, how about if we're going to get back to school, let's get back to some things that we count worthy of our time. Worthy of... Listen, I'm not, you know, I don't know, many of us, we all have talents, right? We're talented. But what are we sharing with others? what comes out of us, what in our conversation or in our godliness people see, that is daily encouraged, and I will say this, renewed by the renewing of our mind. Isn't it great to have something brand new to share with somebody from the Word of God? Let me show you what God showed me today. Do you know that's fresh? People want to hear about that. Nobody wants to eat everybody's three-day-old leftovers. Nobody wants to hear about, listen, you go to work every day and you tell somebody, listen, you know, Sunday, this is what the preacher preached. But you got nothing else to share with them the rest of the week, not till you get to Wednesday and then tell them about what the preacher preached on Wednesday because that was the only word of God that you got all week long. This week I was encouraged, you know, our devotions to God. Listen, if we have devotion, devotion is a devoted time that we give Him. Church is a devotion. It is something we are commanded to do. But we ought to spend time with God in love. Now, every one of us bring our families out to church, and if you could take it like this, this is all of our date night with God. Date day, we spend time with Him. Well, I don't want to just spend time with the person that I love in front of everybody else. I want to spend personal time with them when it's just me and them. And it's important for us to see our devotion to God in that way, that we're not just devoted when it's an assembly time and we show up, but every moment of my day that isn't planned up for something else. And by the way, if you plan your whole day up and you don't plan devotions in it, or a time to be with that person that you love, the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, preacher, why are you saying that? Well, we're going back to school. Wouldn't it be a shame if we had teachers that were going to go in the classroom and they're not having devotions? Wouldn't it be a shame if we had Sunday school teachers that on a daily basis, prepping and going into the classroom, and they don't have a walk with God or a devotion life? Wouldn't it be better if your Sunday school kids had somebody come in that had been in the Word of God all week? It would be. Wouldn't it be good if we got back to counting things the way they ought to count? That I count the most important things is my salvation. That others hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that my time alone with God, my devotions are important. Somebody reached out this week, and again, and I get this every so often, but it just hit me, you know, the devotion that we put out, we work hard at that, and we put that thing out, and we do that so that it's an organized way for you to be able to open the Word of God, have a reading list, and be able to read that piece of the Scripture, and it give you some help on a daily basis from a passage of Scripture. Somebody reached out and said, preacher, I just want to thank you. Was another preacher, had a loss in his family, and man, the devotion this past week, just on the right day at the right time, I mean, it was right there. And that it wasn't us. We didn't know when people are going to pass away. We didn't organize it so that's God superintending it and taking care of it. And then knowing exactly what you were going to need on the day that you needed it, and then it comes up. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, say, preacher, why is it important? Because not only is it important for us to be in the Word of God, but we need the Word of God. And when we're faithful, and faithfully in it, it changes us. By this way, if we're faithful to our devotions, it encourages us and helps us be faithful. A person that is reading their Bible on a daily basis doesn't miss church. Doesn't miss their service to the Lord, because it's been what they've been looking forward to all week long. They've been looking forward to not only being in the Word of God, but getting to go do the thing that God has asked them to do. The area of service that they can't wait. It's an outlet. Sunday school should be an outlet for people who have spent the week in the Word of God. It's faithfulness, not only to the church and it opening up, but to the Great Commission. The reason we are a called out assembly is to fulfill the Great Commission. Everybody says, oh, I don't need a church to worship God. In truth, you don't have to have that, but God does tell you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. This passage is talking about end times, how there's going to be scoffers. And listen, if you're out in the world and you spend all your time out doing other things, you know what you're going to meet? A bunch of people that don't think that God is real, that God is true, that His book isn't real. And listen, you know what helps is to be around other people and come together out of the world and come together into one place with people that are like-minded, that love the book, that are excited about the things of God. When the Bible is preached and the preacher says something that strikes a right chord with you, you're not the only one saying amen. There are other people in the building that believe that that is truth and that that's the way we ought to raise our family and what we ought to do with our time. I'll just say this. In short, I think coming to the place, you say, how you know, those are the top three. What would you living for God? If I'm going to have salvation as the top of the things that count, man, that's top of the list. My devotional life to God is right up there. It's something that once I'm saved, boy, it's something I want to spend my life doing. And then I want to be faithful in the things that I've been given to do for God. But then everything else, what does everything else fall under? Living for God. Do you know that I could spend all my time, and we have been through ages where men get up and preach against everything. I could spend my night tonight preaching all against all the sin that is in the world. But I'm just going to tell you, we'd be here a while. If I decided to go out and tell you everything that was wrong with the world, can I just tell you, there's a lot of things wrong with the world. But you know what helps me to realize that when I'm living for God, if I did everything, listen, if I made the goal of my life to bring honor and glory to God, living for Him, the choices wouldn't be that hard. If I was spending daily in the Word of God, and then I come to a place where I don't have to wait for the preacher to preach against something to tell me that it's wrong, you know, I'm going to say, God, is this something that brings you glory? And I could account for that thing and say, you know what, I don't even need to really ask the preacher about that. Because, you know, we think of everything as black and white, pure and sinful. And there's a bunch of stuff that you ain't heard the preacher preach on that lives in a gray area. When did we stop as Christians deciding we were not going to live in the gray areas of this life? But that we were going to give God the glory. And that, listen, are you really giving anything up in this life if you say, I'm not going to mess with that because it's not, I don't know whether it will bring God glory or not. And if I have to question that, I'm not going to be a part of it. For all of us, if we get back to these simple things that really count, living for God, being faithful in the things that God has called me to do, daily in His word and devotion, and being a witness of the salvation that's in us. See, I really think that one of the things that fundamentalists, we have always been good about is soul winning. Soul winning is a term that we've come up with, like casting the net, but truly from the scripture, soul winning, he that winneth souls is wise, okay? It's a biblical term, but all throughout the Gospels, throughout the book of Acts, when they talk about soul winning, it's simply witnessing about what has happened in you. It's just being a witness of what's taking place. And by the way, you can go 1, 2, 3, pray after me. You can go through it like that, but it's never as powerful. If you model the Apostle Paul and how he always gave the gospel, it always started, let me tell you about a day that I was on my way to persecute the church. And a bright light from heaven struck me. Now, I don't want to hear you tell me about a bright light striking you down from heaven, all right? He was the last apostle. We've already preached that, amen, in Sunday school. But for all of us, I usually start the process at the door with, I came to tell you about something that somebody shared with me, that cared about my soul, that didn't want me to go to a place called hell, and they shared with me about what Jesus did for me on Calvary. I'd love to share that with you today. Do you know people listen when it's personal to you? I really believe one of the things, because listen, when we witness, it means it counts. It still counts for me. Let me tell you what's still counting in my life, and I want you to have what I've got. It changes everything when you witness to somebody and share with them what you got. Instead of saying, let me tell you, the Bible says. Now, the Bible has to come into it, doesn't it? But it helps when I say I was obedient to the Word of God and it changed everything in my life. Let me share you how you can do that. Let me share with you what God did for me. Listen, I really believe we're set for a school year. You know what's going to be first and foremost and most important to our teachers, or it should be to you? The salvation of your students. Making sure that they know where they'll spend eternity. What's then the most important thing for the parents? Salvation. Amen. What should the most important thing that they expect of you? That the teacher in the classroom is a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people who are devoted have devotions. That you're faithful. If you invite your students to church, will they find you here? In your place. Amen? Sunday school or church, right? Sunday school, church. I'm talking about, hey, or the school teacher in the Christian school. How about this? When they find you out, not find you out that you did something wrong. I hope that's not what they find out. But when they see you. Today I left the church, took off. I was here for a while, and I drove away. There were three people. I stopped at a concession, you know, like one of those Quick Mart things, racetrack up here off of 544. And three people that were in the service were in that place. Now, what if I, you know, I come pulling in the parking lot. Now, he said, preacher, well, you wouldn't do that. What if I come blasting my music that wasn't living for God? I don't do that, by the way. I blast 90.3. Anyway, so if I come rolling in the parking lot blasting the wrong kind of music, you know, and I come, you know, just throwing elbows, trying to get everybody out of my way because I'm the most important thing on planet Earth. Pushing my way through everybody and treating people that wouldn't be a way that Christ would. What would you think those people, you know, instead of that, people were saying, hey, preacher, it's good to see you. It was a good message this morning. Now, I don't think they meant that, but I mean, they were just throwing it out there. You know, I mean, they were just trying to help us. But I'm just saying, listen, I want people to notice me and be able to speak to me, not dodge me. I want people that see me out and living for God and want to come back on Sunday. How about your Sunday school students? I mean, just think about all the people. Man, I want to be back there because when I did see them out, they were living for God. They were dressed like a Christian, talking like a Christian, living and walking and talking what they taught me in Sunday school, what they taught me in church, what they helped me with. Listen, I really believe this. The things that count, that have always counted, still count. But sometimes we don't always account for things like God does. We ought to get back to the place where we count, because one day, all the things, if we count them right, one day they're going to count in heaven, and we're going to give an account of those things. And I may be mindful of it, you may be mindful of it, and I'll just say, you say, preacher, why are you beating this, and just this is something important? Because I'm going to give an account for what I do right here. Not just, I mean, every one of us is going to give an account for what we do at racetrack and all out on a daily basis, but as the preacher, I'm going to give an account for how I encouraged you, how I reminded you, how I wanted you to be mindful, what I told you was important, and what you should count as important. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you want to talk about revival. Is everybody in this room decided to make these four things the most important thing going on in your life? We'd have revival. If we decided that every day we were going to be a witness wherever we were, every day we weren't going anywhere until we've been in the Word of God, every day I'm going to be faithful to the commands of God, and that any time I'm wondering about if it's in a gray area, I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt and live for Him. Boy, it changed the world. It changed Haines City because of what God is doing in us and through us. Can I just say this? Jesus is coming again. And you ought to take account in your own mind to realize that you may not have. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life, a space of my life, where I didn't count things the way I ought to count them. And it made the days I have left, it made them very precious to me because I only got so much time left to serve God and to live for Him the way I ought to. And so I'm going to count every day. It's precious to me because I only got so much time to serve God. One day I'm going to give an account for those days. And I know how them days in the past count. I know what was important and how I lived. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I want my account for the days that are forward, now that I know how it ought to be and how I ought to love God and how I ought to. Listen, I want to make every day count. Tonight, listen, if you're here and you're not saved, salvation is first on the list. It's the jumping off point. You can't have the love for God and the devotional life that you ought to have till you're saved. You come in here and say, I've been seeking God. Well, the best way you can seek God is to seek his face through salvation, putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then all these other things, even though you try to be those things, now they'll come a lot easier because there's a different power. You've had the power to become a son of God. The Holy Spirit encouraging you on a daily basis to read the Word of God, and it speaks to your heart. That holy conscience inside of you to tell you what you ought to stay away from and what you ought to do for God. Listen, you ought to do that if you need to be saved. As Christians, let's count things the way we ought to count them. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the musicians come tonight, if God spoke to your heart and you're a Christian, why don't you come and step out and do business with God? If you're here and you need to be saved, I'm going to step forward and meet you in the front. Brother Bert's about to sing, but why don't you just step out tonight? I'm going to pray and ask God to help us tonight to do what he wants us to do. But if you need to be saved, would you meet me right here in the front? God, I pray that you'd help us to do and be what we ought to be. Lord, to count things the right way. If there's someone in the building tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that the night that they would be bold enough to step out and walk down the aisle and let us take a Bible and let them accept you tonight as their Savior. To confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that he was raised from the dead. The Bible says they shall be saved. Help them to have that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bert, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Heads bowed and eyes closed, Christians praying. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, that world burning with fervent heat is Jesus' second coming. Listen, what you have to worry about today is dying and going to a devil's hell. That fire is real and it's the judgment of God. But I'm going to tell you today, knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven is receiving the payment that Jesus made for your sins, paid for it on Calvary, rose again, and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. If you put your faith and trust in him, you'll have what the Bible calls eternal life. This morning we used the term born again into God's family. If you're here tonight and you don't have that, you've never called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. Don't leave here wondering where you'll spend eternity. Get it settled tonight by coming forward and letting us take a Bible to show you for sure, 100%, that you know Jesus as your Savior. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you opportunity.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I
you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, I encourage you, after the service, just come down. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. It is one of those things. We've had folks join the church this morning, and without a doubt, that'll continue if we're witnesses like we ought to be. Let me encourage you to do this. You say, "Preacher, I've talked to the Lord about it." Again, make a plan tonight. Say, "I got away from my devotions. How do I do that?" Set the alarm a little earlier. Make a plan to see it through. Amen. And take time. In the back of the church, there's some devotionals back there. If you don't have a plan, then you're planning to fail. That's just how it is. Make a plan. Set a time, a place to be with the Lord. Amen. Everybody likes to do it with coffee, right? Amen. It's a great plan. Hot, cold, or indifferent, whatever kind of coffee that you have. But spend some time with the Lord. It's one of the best things that you can do. But I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, get one of those devotionals. It's a great way to start. You may find something you like better, but it's a great way to get started. Amen. Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for our church. Lord, I thank you for our families. Lord, I pray as the teachers and just our whole ministry gears up for a brand new school year, both in church and back to school and this week with our Christian Day School. God, I pray that you hedge us about with your protection. Lord, help us to surrender again to serve you and to make the things that we always have known really count. Help us to do those things on a daily basis, Lord. Not to forsake them, but to put them in practice, Lord. To be the example we ought to be for the young people that are coming up behind us, Lord. For our families and our children, Sunday school kids. God, I pray for the bus routes, Lord. I thank you for just our continued investment there, Lord. I pray that you'd help us as we get back to school. All those things would not only increase, but we would see souls saved and you glorified through all that we do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.